أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Today we will begin Juz 8, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 111. وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ. And even if we had sent down to them the angels with the message, and the dead spoke to them of it, and we gathered together every created thing in front of them, they would still not believe, unless Allah should will. But most of them of that are ignorant, meaning they are not aware that they would do this. And thus we have made for every prophet an enemy, devils from the mankind and jinn, inspiring to one another decorative speech in delusion. But if your Lord had willed, they would not have done it. So leave them and that which they invent. As early as the first wahi, the first revelation, the Prophet ﷺ went to visit Warqa bin Nawfal, who was a Christian monk and a cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha. He said, whenever someone brought a message like yours, they were confronted with enemies. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surprised that he would inspire enmity while he was bringing good news. This message, this work, inspires enemies. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Zar radiallahu anhu that there are shayateen among men, and they are more dangerous than jinn, because jinn run away upon the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. But human shayateen work against you in open. Also, when shaitan cannot mislead you, he places bad feelings against you among people, so that people will turn away from you and therefore turn away from the message. Arrogance, self-interest. These are the two things that inspire shayateen, jinn and men to stand up against the truth. Allah says, and it is so the hearts of those who disbelieve in the hereafter will incline toward it, meaning deceptive speech, and that they will be satisfied with it, and that they will commit that which they are committing, meaning that shayateen, jinn and men will speak fluently and eloquently against Islam, against the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets that happen so that people who are arrogant will be inclined toward that speech, they will be attracted toward that speech, and their hujjah, the excuse against them, will be proven. So what should we do? Leave such people alone. Make dua for them and make dua for yourself. Because people with a disease in their hearts love to hear what confirms their ideas, their own ideas, their own desires. They don't want to change their lifestyle. Allah asks a question, أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْتَغِي حَكَمًا. Say, then is it other than Allah I should seek as a judge, while it is He who has revealed to you the Qur'an, the book, explained in detail. And those to whom we previously gave the scripture know that it is sent down from your Lord in truth, so never be among the doubters. The Qur'an is Furqan, it is a criterion. We must read all of it in its context. It has no mistakes. It cannot be changed. It is based on the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not ever doubt the Qur'an. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. and the word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice. None can alter his words, and he is a hearing and knowing, meaning he is aware always how we are approaching the Quran, what we think of the Quran, how we feel about the Quran. Allah says, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ, and if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you from the way of Allah. They follow not except assumption, and they are not but falsifying. Two words, dhan. Dhan means to assume things. And Allah says, they don't do anything except illa yakhrusun, meaning make up things out of ignorance, conjecture, and assumption. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ يُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who strays from his way, and he is most knowing of the rightly guided. So, eat of that meat upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned, if you are believers in his verses, meaning law. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the right guidance, rushd, huda, is different from misguidance. And then he says, adds with a conjunction, he says, so, fur, then eat of the meat upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned, meaning at the time of slaughter. Why is this verse connected to the first one, where Allah says, indeed your Lord is most knowing of who strays from his way, and he is most knowing of the rightly guided? Because our actions are a reflection of our iman. And if a person truly believes in Allah, then they would eat halal and tayyib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the best of it is that meat upon which Allah's name is mentioned when it is being slaughtered. There is no disagreement about that. Allah says, if you are believers in his ayat, then you would eat the meat upon which Allah's name is mentioned at the time of slaughtering. In the next ayah, Allah then asks a question about the same issue. And why should you not eat of that upon which the name of Allah has been mentioned? While he has explained in detail to you what he has forbidden you, except that to which you are compelled. And indeed, do many lead others astray through their own desires without knowledge? Indeed, your Lord, he is most knowing of the transgressors. This concept here, that following most of humanity will mislead one, is repeated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing in ayah number 116, just three ayahs before. He says, if you obey most of those upon the earth, they will mislead you from the way of Allah. They follow not except assumption, and they are not but falsifying. And he says again over here that indeed do many lead others astray through their own desires without knowledge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us. So he asks a question, why would you avoid this? Why would you think that this is not an acceptable way of life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now stressed in two ayat about eating meat upon which Allah's name is mentioned at the time of slaughter. Then Allah says, and leave what is apparent of sin and what is concealed thereof. Why? Why here? Why now? Because what is apparent of sin is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is manifest and open. And concealed of sin is something that others are not aware of, they cannot see. For example, showing off, hypocrisy, dishonesty, anger, intolerance, pride. Allah says, indeed, those who earn blame for sin will be recompensed for that which they used to commit. So what is sin? The word used over here in this ayah for sin is al-ithm. So Nawaz bin Saman asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is al-ithm? What is sin? He, peace be upon him, replied, what bothers your heart? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. He was the best of teachers. Whatever bothers you, if it bothers you to eat meat upon which Allah's name is not mentioned, leave it. because that is sin. Allah wants us to leave all kinds of sin, the ones that are obvious and the ones that are hidden. And in the next ayah, as if it was not clear, Allah says a third time, now with a command, and do not eat of that upon which the name of Allah has not been mentioned, for indeed it is a grave disobedience. Just in case people think that it is an option to eat meat upon which Allah's name is mentioned, Allah forbids it, and said, do not eat of that meat upon which the name of Allah has not been mentioned, for indeed it is a grave sin. Innahu lafisq. Allah says, and indeed do the devils inspire their allies among men to dispute with you, and if you were to obey them, indeed you would then be associators of others with him. So what do we learn? That a lot of people will argue with you about this topic, about eating zabiha, about eating non-zabiha. Allah says, if you follow these allies of the devils, then you would have committed shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Ameen. After mentioning this topic of eating meat upon which Allah's name is mentioned, Allah says, and is the one who was dead, and we gave him life, and made for him light by which to walk among the people, like the one who is in darkness, never to emerge from it? Thus it has been made pleasing to the disbelievers that which they were doing. So we see the parable, the contrast between light and darkness. A person who walks upon Islam, a person whose heart is devoted to Allah, and a person who also reflects his devotion in his actions and his choices, is a person who walks in light. On the other hand, a person who doesn't do that is one who walks in darkness. There are effects of eating halal. There are effects of eating haram. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhar rusul, O apostles, O prophets, eat of the good things of life. Kulu min at-tayyibati wa'lamu saliha, and do righteous deeds. Inni bima ta'maluna alim. Indeed, I have full knowledge of all that you do. So this commandment was also given to the prophets, to eat of the best things, the pure things, and the best of meat that we can eat is one upon which Allah's name is mentioned. In fact, Allah discourages us to eat meat that upon which Allah's name is not mentioned, because amal salih, doing good work, good deeds, has a direct connection to what we put inside of our bodies. Tayyib food, halal wealth, it gives rise to good deeds. So what is the zabiha of a Muslim? The name of Allah must be mentioned at the time of slaughter. A very sharp knife must be used, which should be kept out of the vision of the animal. Plus, the blood must flow out of the body completely before it is processed. This ayah is used to prove that slaughtered animals are not lawful when Allah's name is not mentioned over them, even if slaughtered by a Muslim. There is a hadith narrated in Sahih Bukhari in which Aisha radiallahu anha commented on the meat brought in by new Muslims. She said, some people said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that some people bring us meat and we don't know whether the name of Allah was invoked upon the slaughter or not. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, you say the name of Allah upon it and then eat it. Meaning new Muslims who might not be aware of the way Muslims slaughter their meat, if they give you some meat, then just say the name of Allah upon it and then eat it. This hadith is under the chapter, the Zabiha of those who have just embraced Islam. Another narration states that a certain woman asked, O Ummul Mu'mineen, some of our foster relatives are non-Arabs and they have one or the other festival going for them all the time. On these festivals they send us gifts. Should we eat them or should we not? Thereupon Aisha radiallahu anha said, do not eat what has been slaughtered for that day, meaning for their festivals, but you can eat fruits from their trees. Also, we need to remember and reiterate that if someone has some food has been dedicated to other than Allah, it may not be eaten at all. It is completely forbidden. Allah says in Surah Fatir, "Not alike are the blind and the seeing, nor are darkness and light, nor are the shade and the sun's heat, nor are the living and the dead. Verily, Allah makes whom He wills to hear, but you cannot make hear those who are in the graves. You are only a warner." Allah then says, "And thus we have placed within every city the greatest of its criminals to conspire therein, but they conspire not except against themselves, and they perceive it not. And when a sign comes to them, they say, 'Never will we believe until we are given like that which was given to the messengers of Allah.' Allah is most knowing of where, that is, with whom He places His message. There will afflict those who committed crimes debasement before Allah, and severe punishment for what they used to conspire. So whoever Allah wants to guide, He expands His breast to contain Islam, and whoever He wants to misguide, He makes His breast tight and constricted as though He were climbing into the sky. Thus does Allah place defilement upon those who do not believe." The Prophet ﷺ was asked, "How does one know that the heart has been opened up?" He said, "There are a few signs of the heart opening up. The first one is that a person starts desiring more than the dunya. A person starts desiring the eternal abode, the hereafter. The other sign is that worldly houses, possessions, and worldly approvals become less interesting. And the third sign is that a person starts preparing for death before death." In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "But Allah has endeared the faith to you and has beautified it in your hearts and has made disbelief, wickedness, and disobedience hated by you. Such are they who are rightly guided. So how do I know that my heart has been opened up to Islam? That I love Islam, and faith, Iman, is endeared to me. And the most beautiful thing that I possess, that I possess, is Iman and love for Allah in my heart. And that I hate falling into disbelief, I hate falling into wickedness, and I hate falling into disobedience. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. وَهَذَا سُرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا. And this is the path of your Lord leading straight. We have detailed the verses for a people who remember. For them, there will be the home of peace, meaning Jannah, paradise with their Lord. And He will be their protecting friend because of what they used to do, their actions. That is the price of Jannah. And mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day when He will gather them together and say, 'O company of jinn, you have misled many of mankind.' And their allies among mankind will say, 'Our Lord, some of us made use of others, and we have now reached our term which you appointed for us.' He will say, 'The fire is your residence, wherein you will abide eternally, except for what Allah wills. Indeed, your Lord is wise and knowing.' How do jinn and men use each other? Men use jinn for black magic, for misguidance. And the shayateen among jinn misguide men out of hatred for them. Allah says, 'And thus we will make some of the wrongdoers allies of others for what they used to earn.' O company of jinn and mankind, did there not come to you messengers from among you, relating to you my verses and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They will say, 'We bear witness against ourselves.' And the worldly life had deluded them, and they will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers. That is because your Lord would not destroy the cities for wrongdoing while their people were unaware. Allah would always ensure that a message had come to them." And then He says, "And for all our degrees, meaning positions, resulting from what they have done, and your Lord is not unaware of what they do. So there are varying degrees of reward and varying degrees of punishment. And your Lord is free of need, the possessor of mercy. Allah does not need anything from us. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has said that if the first of us and the last of us become the most pious, it would not increase his kingdom at all. And if the first of us, humans, and the last of us became the most wicked, it would not decrease his kingdom at all. But in fact, he is the one who hands out and gives gifts, and he possesses mercy. Allah says, if he wills, he can do away with you and give succession after you to whomever he wills, just as he produced you from the descendants of another people. Indeed, what you are promised is coming, and you will not cause failure to Allah, meaning you will neither escape nor prevent its occurrence, meaning death or the last day. Say, O my people, work according to your position, for indeed I am working, and you are going to know who will have succession in the home, meaning home of the hereafter. Indeed, the wrongdoers will not succeed, and that is Allah's law. And they, meaning the polytheists, assign to Allah from that which he created of crops and livestock a share, and say this is for Allah by their claim, and this is for our so-called partners, those they associate with him. Allah says, but what is for their so-called partners does not reach Allah, while what is for Allah, this reaches their so-called partners. Meaning Allah does not even accept the portion that is dedicated to him, because they had dedicated the other portions to their so-called partners or idols. Allah says, evil is that which they rule. And note that Allah calls those idols their partners, the partners of the mushrikeen, because Allah is very clear that there are no partners for him. وَكَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَ لِكَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ قَتْلَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ شُرَكَاءُهُمْ. And likewise, to many of the polytheists, their partners have made to seem pleasing the killing of their children in order to bring about their destruction and to cover them with confusion in their religion. They think that this is part of their religion, that it is allowed or encouraged by the so-called partners, subhanAllah. Allah says they are confused in their religion, and if Allah had willed, they would not have done so. So leave them and that which they invent. Their entire religion is an invention. Allah says, and they say, these animals and crops are forbidden, meaning they would assign certain crops and certain animals to be off limits to use. Allah says, they say, no one may eat from them except whom we will by their claim. And there are those camels whose backs are forbidden by them, meaning they are not used for carrying heavy burdens, and those upon which the name of Allah is not mentioned. All of this an invention of untruth about him. He will punish them for what they were inventing. And they say, what is in the bellies of these animals, these particular animals, is exclusively for our males and forbidden to our females. But if it is born dead, then all of them have shares therein, meaning that the men and women can partake of it. Allah says he will punish them for their description. Indeed, he is wise and knowing. Those will have lost who killed their children in foolishness, without knowledge, and prohibited what Allah had provided for them, inventing untruth about Allah. They have gone astray and were not rightly guided. They used to kill their daughters for fear of showing weakness. They used to abort their children for fear of not being able to provide for them. And they would invent tenets, their own tenets, in their religion, saying it is from Allah, but it was never from Allah. All the injunctions in Islam make sense. They are logical. Their tenets, the principles that the polytheists had invented, had no logic to them, and they were wasteful. Allah clearly explains that they were not guided, And then he says, "And he it is who causes gardens to grow, both trellised and untrellised, and palm trees, and crops of different kinds of food, and olives and pomegranates, similar and dissimilar. Eat of each of its fruit when it yields, and give its due zakah on the day of its harvest, and be not excessive. Indeed, he does not like those who commit excess, who go beyond the limits in eating or spending, or they do not give zakah because that is excess as well." Allah says, "And of the grazing livestock are carriers of burdens, and those too small. Eat of what Allah has provided for you, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Indeed, he is to you a clear enemy," meaning as disbelievers have done, in making their own rulings about what is permissible and what is prohibited. Allah warns us, do not make up your own rulings. And then Allah shares with us some of the other beliefs of the polytheists. There are 8 mates, of the sheep 2, and of the goats 2. Say, is it 2 males he has forbidden, or the 2 females, or that which the wombs of the 2 females contain? Inform me with knowledge if you should be truthful. So the polytheists had paired off the sheep and the goats and others because they made them forbidden from use. So Allah says, tell me more in detail, which of those, the females, or the male and the female, or what is in the wombs of the 2 females? In the next ayah, Allah says, they say, and of the camels too, and of the cattle too. Say, is it the 2 males he has forbidden, or the 2 females, or that which the wombs of the 2 females contain? Or were you witnesses when Allah charged you with this? Then who is more unjust than one who invents a lie about Allah to mislead the people by something other than knowledge? Indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Why is Allah mentioning all of this? To show how ridiculous their own beliefs were, how illogical and wasteful were their own rulings, and to question them and say, were you witnesses when Allah gave those orders? Where have these orders come from? Allah says, do not mislead people without knowledge. Do not make up things on your own. And this is also very important to us as Muslims. If we do not know the answer to a question in Islam, we must clearly state, we do not know. A person who can say, I do not know, has real knowledge, because that person is fearful of Allah. Then Allah says, say, I do not find within that which was revealed to me anything forbidden to one who would eat it, unless it be a dead animal, or blood spilled out, or the flesh of swine. For indeed it is impure, or it be that slaughtered in disobedience, dedicated to other than Allah. But whoever is forced by necessity, neither desiring it nor transgressing its limit, then indeed your Lord is forgiving and merciful. And to those who are Jews, we prohibited every animal of uncloven hoof, and of the cattle and the sheep, we prohibited to them their fat, except what adheres to their backs or the entrails, or what is joined with the bone. By that we repaid them for their injustice, and indeed we are truthful. Truly, Allah is always truthful. Allah is the truth. Allah explains, though, that the rulings that were given to the Jews was because of their disobedience. Eating and drinking and other acts were made difficult for them. Their injunctions are more complicated than what the Quran and the Sunnah came with. Allah says, so if they deny you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, your Lord is the possessor of vast mercy, but his punishment cannot be repelled from the people who are criminals. Those who associated with Allah will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have associated anything, and neither would our fathers, nor would we have prohibited anything, meaning that everything they are doing, it is by the permission of Allah because he allows it to happen. Allah replies, likewise did those before deny until they tasted our punishment. That means people before also have said exactly the same thing. They have placed the blame on Allah, whereas it is they who were making those choices. It is like Shaitan, Iblis, when he said that it is Allah who has misguided me and placed me in this position, but it was actually his own choice based on his own desires. Allah says, say, do you have any knowledge that you can produce for us? You follow not except assumption, and you are not but falsifying. So the opposite of real knowledge, firm knowledge, ilm, is assumption, assertions, guessing, guesswork. Allah says, say, with Allah is a far-reaching, conclusive argument. If He had willed, He would have guided you all. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring forward your witnesses who will testify that Allah has prohibited this. And if they testify, do not testify with them, and do not follow the desires of those who deny our verses, and those who do not believe in the hereafter, while they equate others with their Lord. Say, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited to you. What is most important, Allah tells us in this ayah? He commands that you not associate with him anything, and to parents, excellent treatment, and do not kill your children out of poverty. We will provide for you and them. And do not approach immoralities, what is apparent of them and what is concealed. And do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed, except by legal right. This has He instructed you, that you may use reason. And do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best, meaning intending improvement of the property until he reaches maturity. And give full measure and weight in justice. Allah says, we do not charge any soul except with that within its capacity. And when you speak, meaning testify, be just, even if it concerns a near relative, and the covenant of Allah fulfill, this has He instructed you, that you may remember. And moreover, this is my path, which is straight, so follow it, and do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from His way. This has He instructed you, that you may become righteous. What a beautiful religion. What beautiful injunctions. What noble behavior Islam teaches us. Alhamdulillah. Allah has always mentioned parents right after His name. First He says, do not associate anyone with Him. And then right after that He always mentions walidain, parents. And He uses the word ihsan, meaning beauty, to treat them at the level of excellence. What is the importance of parents in Allah's eyes? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which actions are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said salah at its appointed time. Then he asked which one after it. He said excellent behavior, ihsan toward parents. He said after that? He said jihad in the path of Allah. So that is a position of parents. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was told, Allah's pleasure is in the father's pleasure. Allah's displeasure is in the father's displeasure. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever wants that his wealth is increased and his life is elongated, he should be good to his parents. And that includes non-Muslim parents. A person migrated to come to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Medina and dedicate his life in his service. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told him to go back to his parents and make them smile just as he had left them crying because they were upset at their son's leaving. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, may he be humiliated, may he be humiliated, may he be humiliated. People asked who? He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, the person who finds his parents or one of them in old age and does not earn Jannah by serving them. This is from Sahih Muslim. That is the status of parents in Islam. And Allah instructs us repeatedly in the Quran. In ayah number 154, Allah says, then we gave Moses the scripture, making complete our favor upon one who did good, that is Moses, and as a detailed explanation of all things, and as guidance and mercy that perhaps in the meeting with their Lord they would believe. And this Quran is a book we have revealed which is blessed, so follow it and fear Allah that you may receive mercy. So what is the formula for receiving mercy from Allah? It is to follow the book and fear Allah. Allah says, we revealed it lest you say, the scripture was only sent down to two groups before us. Meaning the polytheists would say that the scripture was revealed to people before us but not us. And they would say, but we were of their study unaware. Dirasatihim, the study. And we understand by this word that Quran is meant to study. Not just recite, but to study. Allah says, or lest you say, if only the scripture had been revealed to us, we would have been better guided than they. So there has now come to you a clear guidance from your Lord, and a guidance and mercy. And who is more unjust than one who denies the verses of Allah and turns away from them? We will recompense those who turn away from our verses with the worst of punishment for their having turned away. Do they then wait for anything except that the angels should come to them, or your Lord should come, or that there come some of the signs of your Lord? The day that some of the signs of your Lord will come, no soul will benefit from its faith. As long as it had not believed before or had earned through its faith some good, meaning that Iman at that moment will not help. To have Iman now at that moment on the Day of Judgment will not help. On that day, everyone will believe. The test is to believe in the unseen. Allah says, say, wait. Indeed, we also are waiting. Indeed, those who have divided their religion and become sects, become groups, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not associated with them in anything. Their affair is only left to Allah, then He will inform them about what they used to do. Whoever comes on the Day of Judgment with a good deed will have 10 times the like thereof to his credit. And whoever comes with an evil deed will not be recompensed except with the same, and they will not be wronged. Allah has made it so easy for us to do good. Say, indeed, my Lord has guided me to a straight path, a correct religion, the way of Abraham, inclining toward truth, and he was not amongst those who associated others with Allah. Say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen la sharika lahu wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana awwalul muslimin. Say, indeed, my prayer, my rites of sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, Lord of the worlds. No partner has He, and this I have been commanded, and I am the first among you of the Muslims. Say, is it other than Allah I should desire as a Lord, while He is a Lord of all things? And every soul earns not blame except against itself, and no bearer of burdens will bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, and He will inform you concerning that over which you used to differ. And it is He who has made you successors upon the earth, and has raised some of you above others in degrees of rank, that He may try you through what He has given you. The blessings that Allah has given us, He has given some more than others, because this is a trial and a test for those who do not have, and as well as for those who do have. Allah says, indeed, your Lord is swift, very quick in penalty, but indeed He is forgiving and merciful. And with this we see that often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us and encourages us at the same time. Allah warns us that He is very swift in penalty, that He can be intense in retribution, in revenge and anger, but He has also written upon Himself mercy. He has obligated Himself to be merciful, and He is forgiving and merciful, so the choice again is up to us. Which attribute of Allah do we want to see manifested for us? Alhamdulillah, with that, we have completed Suratul An'am.